Luke chapter 22. Beginning at verse number 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. May God bless the reading of his word. Loving God, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ that always prayed, not my will, but thine be done. May we who are followers of Christ learn that important lesson. That this life is not about me. It's about Christ and what he wants to do with me. Speak to our hearts, deal with our hearts. Help me today, Lord. I'm nothing, just a helpless individual who depends upon your Spirit. Bless this body of people here. May our hearts be warmed by the Word of God, Spirit of God, and the love of God, that we might make a difference in our community for the glory of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about a man after God's own heart. There was a man in the Bible that was said about. David was the man of after God's own heart, we're told in the Scriptures. Can you and I be a person after God's own heart? Let's think about it together today. Let us consider David, who achieved such a status as the man after God's own heart. It's not said of that any other person in all the Bible. David, though he was not without his failings, as all of us are, yet for the most part his heart was upright before God. I spent a great deal of time reading from David's youth until he was king of all Israel recently. It's interesting reading, starting in 1 Samuel and reading over into 2 Samuel about David from when he was a lad all the way up to he became the great king of Israel. Good reading. What impressed me about David was his constant seeking the Lord's will. Take time to do that sometime. Read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and watch David. He's all the time seeking what does the Lord want. And I thought about that when I chose our text for today. The Lord Jesus always prayed, not my will, but thine be done. And David had that kind of attitude even before Jesus ever came. Lord, what should I do? He would ask the Lord, should I go to a certain battle? And the Lord would tell him, yes or no. Sometimes he said yes, sometimes he said no. He would ask the Lord if he needed to leave or go to a certain town for his own safety. And the Lord would tell him. He was always seeking the Lord's will before he made a decision. Folks, that's something wise. That's something we need to do. Even in the smallest things, you won't go wrong asking what the Lord's will is. This pleased God. You want to please God? Ask what the Lord's will is for your life or for this decision or that decision. David wanted to do the will of God, and this is the kind of man that God is desiring. This is the kind of man that pleases God. One who will fulfill God's desires. Not like King Saul, who was before David. He didn't do that. Yes, David did commit some serious sins, and we'll talk about them maybe a little bit later. But what was King Saul's sin? The king before David. He was the first king. You remember the people wanted a king like the other nations. They had rejected God, broke the heart of God and Samuel. So God decided to let them have a king. And Saul was the one that was allowed to be the king. What was Saul's sin? Saul got out of his place. Saul invaded the priest's office. And he offered a sacrifice that he was not allowed to offer as a king. And this displeased God. And Samuel the prophet had said to King Saul in 1 Samuel 10:8, "Listen, thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings," Samuel said. Samuel said, "I'm going to come down and do that. 7 days shalt thou tarry," Samuel said to Saul, "till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." That's 1 Samuel 10:8. But what did King Saul do? Well, in the following scriptures, in 1 Samuel 13, it says, And Saul tarried 7 days, like Samuel said, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal. And the people were scattered from him, and Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and a peace offering." And he offered the burnt offering. Saul did what Samuel said, but Samuel didn't get there on time. He was delayed. So King Saul said, "Well, I'll just go ahead and offer the sacrifice myself." But as a king, he was not allowed to do that, to enter into the priest's office and his work. And Saul saw the people departing from him. So he decided he better act right quick and make this sacrifice himself. He tried to justify it. Sometimes, folks, we act too fast. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. Saul should have realized, "I'm not supposed to offer sacrifices. This is the priest's job." We can get out of our place sometimes. You know that? Saul's great sin is described in 1 Samuel 13, beginning at verse 10. There it says, "And it came to pass that as soon as Saul had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came." See how much he missed the boat? "And Saul went out to meet him, and that he might salute him. And Samuel said, 'What hast thou done?' And Saul said, 'Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplications unto the Lord. I force myself. Therefore, and offered a burnt offering." See, he's trying to justify what he'd done that was wrong. "I forced myself." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." But listen to what's going to happen to him now. Disobeying the Lord is costly, folks. It's costly for us today, folks. It says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." You know, a king usually had just kept going down to their son, to their son, to their son, down through the ages. But not Saul. His is going to get cut off with him because he disobeyed the Lord. He didn't wait like he was supposed to. And he offered that sacrifice that he wasn't supposed to. Your kingdom will not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, which was a reference that he was going to get David. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. 1 Samuel 13:10-14. Samuel reminds Saul that God chose him to be king and to obey him. You're going to be king, you got to obey the Lord. And when the Lord puts us in certain places, he expects us to be obedient. We're supposed to live with the word of the Lord. But you know, in our age we live today, this book is disregarded. It's not opened. When it's opened, we read it, but we don't let it change us or change our walk. We just know what it said. Right? And it condemns us. We're supposed to live with the word of the Lord. It's relevant for us today. In 1 Samuel 14, beginning at verse 1, and Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king. He's rehearsing what God sent Samuel to do. Anoint Saul to be the king over the people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the Lord, of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek. Samuel saying, Saul, God says for you to go smite Amalek. And listen, and utterly destroy all that they have. Destroy those people completely, God says. And spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. God says, I want them all gone. All. And you know what? People have a problem with that. The unbelieving world can't comprehend that. They don't like God doing that. God can do what he wants to, folks. He's God. Those people had hundreds of years to get right with God, and they had rejected God, so God's going to wipe them off now. They'd had time to repent. They never repented. And they'd been a problem to Israel. But Saul disobeyed the Lord. He was an unwise king. He's not going to do exactly what Samuel told him to do, that God said for him to do. The Bible says in 1 Samuel, look in chapter 14, beginning at verse 8, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Saul captured him. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all the that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Samuel's the prophet. He's so disappointed. He's so heartbroken with Saul, the king, that God has gave the opportunity to rule over Israel, that Samuel prayed all night. He was so hurt. God's message to Samuel is, God has rejected Saul as king. He's going to reject him. In 1 Samuel 14, beginning at verse 16, Samuel said to Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath told me this night. And he said to him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thy own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel." When you were a nobody, God made something out of you. "And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, like the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord?' And Saul said unto Samuel, 'Yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord,'" listen now, "'and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites.' But the people took of the spoil," the people took of the spoil, "sheep, oxen, the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." Oh, we're going to use that for a sacrifice. See, he's trying to justify. Man tries to justify his sin. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offering sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" It's better to obey the Lord than bring a sacrifice to the Lord. You can't buy God. Lots of people think they can buy God. You cannot buy a holy God. God wants us to do what He says, not what we think. And he says, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." Boy, he got demoted, didn't he? How sad that Saul, the king, was a loser. He had the opportunity to have a glorious kingdom. All he had to do was obey the Lord. You want to be blessed? I want to be blessed? We've got to obey the voice of the Lord. This is the voice of the Lord. This is what we live by. We've been chosen to be children of God, folks. You can't get any higher. You're a child of God if you've trusted Christ. You're a son, a daughter of the living God. That's an awesome position, folks. You're in the family of God Almighty. Think of how blessed you are. We've been chosen to be the children of God. We should so live as children of God. We too have been called to serve and obey the Lord Jesus Christ, the man after God's heart. In what sense was David a man after God's own heart? In his strict attention to the Mosaic law and the worship of God. You see, David lived about 300 to 400 years after the Mosaic law had been given. It was given around 1400. David lived around 1,000 to 1,100 years thereafter. He was a man after God's own heart, and admitting that God was king in Israel and that he himself was not. Although he had been, David would succeed Saul, David always looked at God as being the king, and he was being allowed to rule God's people. Folks, we need to know who we are. We're just the children of God. Listen, I'm only a pastor here. I'm not the Lord. I'm not the high priest. We're all just children of God. We're to act like children of God. Not only here, but everywhere. Even at Walmart's at 2 in the morning. Amen. David was a man after God's own heart in admitting that all his public official conduct, he was always acting according to the will of God. David, if you read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, you'll see that David is a very compassionate man. There was times he could have just destroyed. He wouldn't. Now, when he had to fight, he would fight. But David was not a hothead. Very compassionate. And David was always conscious of God. Conscious of God. God's looking. Oh, we're going to mention a few times when his frailties showed up, but overall, he was always conscious of God. You remember as a 16-year-old boy, lad, 16, 17-year-old lad, when he went out to face Goliath? Oh, he was conscious of God. He knew God weren't going to put up with that. Listen, when David did sin, and we're going to look at that in a minute, here's one thing you'll see about David when he sinned. He didn't say, "Lord, forgive me." No, David utterly, sincerely, I mean, he poured his heart out, repenting, asking for the Lord's forgiveness. It was no casual thing with David when he done wrong and he repented. He took it serious. Folks, we could learn some lessons about repenting. It should move more than just lip service. It needs to come from deep down. And when you really repent, you change directions. You change directions. You get back on the right path. Let's talk about one of David's sins briefly. The Bible says Second Samuel 24, "For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host which was with him, Go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people." See how many soldiers we got, in other words. "That I may know the number of the people." And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly." Greatly, notice that. "In that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose then one of them that I may do unto thee." David sinned in numbering Israel. It was a matter of pride. God hates pride. So the consequences was one of three things that God was going to punish David. And God was going to let David make the choose which one he wanted. Well, Bible scholars say that David was tempted by someone. And in a moment, he just yielded to that. Some have suggested maybe it was even Satan himself. But God does hate pride. And God did not want David to number the people of Israel because God was protecting Israel, not the number of soldiers he had. God don't have to have a large number or a big army to get the victory, folks. God is God. He controls all elements of nature. And God can protect a people without a big army or with no army as far as that goes. Look how God took care of the Israelite people fleeing Egypt. God didn't use no army. He just opened up the Red Sea and drowned them. God's God, folks. Have y'all discovered God is God? David's punishment is found in 2 Samuel 24. And when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and say to David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them that I may do unto thee." You can pick out which one of these troubles you want. I'm with you, Brother Chavis. Yes, sirree. He said, "Listen." So Gad came to David and told him and said to him, "Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land?" That's one. "Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies?" That's two. "While they're pursuing you." Or three. "Or that there be 3 days pestilent in the land?" Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, "I'm in a great strait." Boy, he was, in other words, I'm in a mess, ain't I? Let us fall now in the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great. You know, that was a wise choice. David said, "Listen, I'm going to just, the Lord's a merciful God. I'm going to just ask for his mercy." For his mercies are great. Aren't you glad God's mercies are great? "And let me not fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And listen to this, folks. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. Have y'all understood that? It was David that sinned. And 70,000 men died. Sin hurts other people. You can't sin without it affecting somebody else. Sin incurs judgment when you do wrong. Our actions affect others. People think, "Oh, well, I can do this and don't bother them." Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. You see, the way our country is today and so many people not serving the Lord, it's going to bring down the judgment of God on us. Look what happened to Israel long ago. They went into Babylon, and the three Hebrew boys went. Daniel, he had to go. And they were living for the Lord. Sin brings God's judgment. Now let's look at David's other sin that we know about. So he was probably somewhere around the age of 50, maybe 52, somewhere along that, when this took place. "And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eli, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned into her house, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, 'I'm with child.'" God sees and knows everything. David made a bad mistake there. He didn't seek the will of the Lord, did he? There's no secrets with God. David had at least 7 wives and maybe some concubines. And God saw David's sin as he sees all sin. "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David," Nathan the prophet, "and it came unto him and said unto him, 'There were 2 men in one city, one rich, one poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save 1 little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nurtured up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom. It was unto him as a daughter. There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and from his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come into him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that had done this shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I deliver thee out of the hand of Saul." 2 Samuel 17:1-7. David's privileged position required strict judgment from God. He was the king. He knew better. He had wives. To whom much is given, the Bible says, much will be required. Luke 12:48. About a year went by, nearly a year, scholars tell us. David been rolling in his bed at night. He couldn't rest, troubled. That's what sin does. And in Psalm 51, we have David's confession. Oh, what a psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God. Notice the depth of David's plea to God. His utter attempt to get hold of God because he was so miserable. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Everywhere he went, all he could see was that sin he committed. It troubled him. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, and the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You sense David's humility in this prayer of confession, repentance. He was sick in his heart concerning his sin against his God. Psalms 32 is also dealing with that same thing. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Oh, how blessed when we confess, because God is faithful to forgive when we ask for forgiveness. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed through my roaring all the day long. For days and nights thy hand was heavy upon me. so convicted. My moisture is turning to the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Boy, all I can say is amen. Folks, I don't care how bad our sin is. God will forgive if we humble ourselves and ask for it. He longs to forgive. And not only he don't only just forgive, he cleanses. He takes us back into fellowship that we can enjoy him, love him, and serve him. Oh, what a God, folks, we got to serve today. What a God. David committed adultery. David lied. David murdered, plotting the death of an innocent man. And David used others in his sinful plot. He got others involved in his sin. The consequences of David's sin. 2 Samuel chapter 17. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. Thou hast taken his wife to be thy wife. Thou hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword, listen to this. The Lord has sent word to David. The sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Remember what happened to Absalom. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son, for thou did it secretly. But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. God gave David a great privilege of being the king. And he's known today as the greatest king Israel ever had. But he had this terrible blot because he yielded to temptation. And his sin not only cost him, but it hurt so many other people as well. Three of his favorite sons. I think he had about 18 or so. But three of them, Ammon, Absalom, Adonijah, died. They were killed. And his daughter, his only daughter, was raped by her brother. Yes, even God's best servants fail. He was the man after God's own heart. You better be careful, because you can fail and I can fail. Don't say you won't do that. You don't know the right situation. Better not boast. The devil is listening. And you may eat your own words. We better put on the whole armor of God. Let us be men and women after God's own heart by seeking not my will, but thine be done. Lord, speak to our hearts. Deal with our hearts. May we learn from this message taken with so many scriptures from your precious word, the danger of sin, the danger of doing our will. May we always be mindful, careful to seek thy will. And with humility we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.